Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Eric.
And we are proud affiliates of the You Run Podcast Network.
Head on over to YouRunPodcast.com to check out all of our content, all of our affiliates' content, and so much more.
See y'all there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another riveting edition of Under the Floorboards, where we laugh at the creatures that go bump of the night. I'm your host, John, joined as always by my beautiful co-host, Eric. How are you this week?
I'm fabulous. Any idea why?
I would assume that it is because of our super rad guest that we have this week.
Yeah. Nailed it. Can you tell we don't rehearse these?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric, calm down, dude.
The outtakes are just the episodes. But we have co-directors this week and co-writers. We'll start off with Of Mind, Body, and Spirit, Alex Haynes.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to it.
As well as Matthew Miranda. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So this is a movie I discovered kind of a while back, and my partner at the time, she's not a big horror person in general, so I kind of have to cherry pick what she watches. But she loved this film, and as did I. What do you guys think made this so approachable for, like, just the general population?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think generally, like, influencer horror. I mean, I know we came in sort of at the tail end of I think the zenith of influencer horror, and there may be more places to go with that, but there's so many great entries in that specific, like, subgenre of horror. But I think there's something about the yoga influencer angle specifically that I think really spoke to people. And I know as we were creating it, it was sort of born of me doing a lot of yoga during the pandemic, and being stuck at home and sort of forced to exercise in my own space. And I think, I followed this practitioner named, who goes by Yoga with Adrian, that I know is, like, has a sort of pretty massive influence, and our main character is really very directly based on her. Every once in a while I'll see a Letterboxd review where someone's like, this feels like Yoga with Adrian, like, this feels, you know. So I think that definitely was something that kind of aligned with where people were at.
I think, like, we also like prefer horror films that lean more into suspense and spook and less, like, over the top gory disgusting shit, or saves that, I guess, you know, for the end. And so we never set out to make something, like, we wanted to make something that was accessible to, like, more people than just diehard horror fans. And so I think coming into it from a place of character and that influencer space was naturally what gave it that accessibility.
Are you tired of listening to pretentious movie critics?
Do you yearn for topical yet comedic conversations with a friend?
Mostly about film, right?
Then do we have a podcast for you?
Movies for Days, hosted by Jeff Newman, has you covered for this chat.
Find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and as always, YouRunPodcast.com.
I'm curious because you're talking about the influencer space. And so we have one of my favorite elements of this movie is the breaks, and you have the ads that run during this.
Kenzie shit is insane.
Yeah. Grind and body the fuel. I'm curious if you guys had anything pop out at you while you were conceptualizing this and writing this, where you're like, we've got to include something like this because it's ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about doing yoga based on this, not based on this influencer, but, like, per the guidance of this influencer. And I'm curious how that went down.
Yeah. We're obsessed with YouTube ads. I mean, like, there's an option obviously to pay for a subscription, but I genuinely would start to miss whatever it is YouTube thinks that it is that I want to buy. Cause, like, every once in a while they're, like, kind of right. And I'm like, fuck. But for, like, a good amount of time, they really thought I wanted to buy this shit called mud water, and they would feed me
We
mud
knew it when you
water,
were
and I
cured. We were
knew
wondering
it.
about mud water. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're a fan of the film, I would highly recommend doing a side by side of the Earth Energy and mud water ads. They
Okay.
definitely teeter the line of like parody law.
As soon as I saw that dude's reaction, like just like I then I started traveling the world and found myself and wound up drinking all of these fucking Taiwanese minerals out of the earth and shit. I was in fucking tears watching that.
Dude, and the thing is, like, that we had that actor's, kind of we got him to that place, but when you watch the real thing, the guy who does it is like, it's like kind of even funnier. Like he takes himself so fucking seriously, and he actually thinks he invented like chai tea. Like he just is like,
Yeah.
he is like that dude.
I
So
feel
yeah,
like the
I
only
came.
thing that would have been closer is if we had actually just slotted that in
Yeah.
to the movie.
God.
We always kind of conceived it having those buffering breaks, and then the commercials I think came very quickly after that as both a way, because that you sent me that mud water thing and I was like, this has to be in there somehow. And then from that it became, well, we should put Kenzie in too. And I don't know if you see the RoboCop poster behind me, but we're both big Paul Verhoeven fans, and the way that and Starship Troopers use these in-movie commercials to both make fun of and satirize what's happening, but also move the story forward, was something that we both liked and felt like it really applied here. 'Cause it was like, well, let's actually use the format to tell more of the story rather than just like dead stop and have something funny happen. So like, yeah, introducing Kenzie and having, her second commercial come right after Anya stabs herself in the face, spoilers, but yeah.
The comment that I made after the first Kenzie ad came through was, I hope Kenzie fucking gets it in this movie, man. And John Silent spoke everything I needed to.
That's one of the things I think we loved about this movie, like going into it, and something that we found we loved even more after we finished it was like, and we get a lot of comments from people who's like, Anya's so fucking annoying, like Anya's like sucks, and it's like, well, if you hate Anya, you're still gonna love this movie because she just fucking keeps making the wrong fucking decision and keeps fucking up. And if you care about Anya, there's this real tension where you're like, will she, can she sort of like pull herself out of this thing? So I think the movie works both ways. And I think if
Percent.
if you're annoyed by Kenzie and you're like, I want Kenzie to get it, it's like, we're not going to deny you anything. Like, you're going to get everything you want.
I felt smiling and satisfied. Yes.
Good. That's how
Excellent.
we wanted, like a movie can just be, and like, we also get a lot of comments on like the story and like the twist. And it's like, I don't think we ever necessarily intended to sell anything like a twist. I mean,
I
it's
don't
like
think so at all.
no.
it's a downward spiral, it's just this sort of like this girl getting mired and lost in something. And I think you can enjoy it in a myriad of ways.
It's just so fucking funny to me, and I don't know if how I'm sure it was intentional, but just the commentary on where we all were during COVID, picking up new hobbies and just trying anything twice. It's the same kind of idea.
Dude,
Yeah,
yeah, like
absolutely.
watch
How
an
many
hour
long video on YouTube, and now we're an expert on it, and we're going to start a YouTube channel about our journey through this. It's so fucking funny to me because it's so real.
It's reaction video.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do
That
want
is exactly what we were trying to say.
Perfect.
I do want to circle back for a second, because Matt, you were talking about how the ads were kind of satirizing but also progressing the storyline. And I definitely agree with that. And I think a really heavy proponent of that, and you see this throughout the film, is the cinematography itself. And I think in those ads specifically, and more so Kenzie's, you think about that conversation that she and Anya have when they have that big blow up, and all the horrible shit that Anya says to her is all real shit. And you see that when you really look at the ads, like that cinematography is very much like, here's my chest here. Here's me fucking laying out and doing stretches for all the dudes that are watching this. Like it was very like, it felt like it was driving that part of the storyline much farther, but I really want to talk about the cinematography in general. I thought utilizing the haunt for the camera was brilliant. So was that in the original part of the script, or was that something that, as you guys were building this, you were like, okay, hear me out for a second, kind of thing?
That was always part of the idea, was that the ghost becomes the DP at a certain point, because we knew we wanted to move the camera right in ways that Anya wouldn't necessarily, and kind of try some creative and interesting things, especially in the last like third of the movie, as far as like who's controlling this, whose point of view are we seeing. And also that's kind of our what Alex was saying about like the YouTube internet like influencer culture of it all, is like who's watching and what is their intention, and sometimes it's not always good. So like what can we do with the cinematography that makes a comment on that?
Yeah, and I think there's just a real, I think going into it, we wanted to sort of build dread in the audience, not ever really being sure who's controlling the camera. And there's things where we kind of fuck with that, where the camera starts to move on its own and these like slow pans, and then it's like, oh no, it's just her adjusting it, and then it's like, then it's moving on its own, and then you see her out of frame, and you're like, oh, she doesn't even know this is happening. And like, I think it does beget a lot of questions about like, would she review the footage? Would she, why does she keep filming, blah blah blah. And I guess our answer to that is that we don't fucking care, because it's sick. And it's cooler to think about like how, I think there's like this progression where you see the spirit sort of, getting a little more daring with the camera and stronger. Like there's a way that you're seeing the spirit inhabit the space more and reclaim the space more by taking over the camera more and more, and moving it more, and like zipping it through the house and things like that. So again, it's like another, it's just an, it was just another element to us that felt like, was kind of filling in these beats of the story and adding to the story and pushing it forward,
And that scene through the house was fucking
It
awesome.
was
The
awesome.
with the red lighting and her just like, yeah, I loved the feel of that. So this is all done pretty much based on her finding her grandmother's, I guess, epitome of rituals that has been found, that she had gathered from what, like Slavic countries, I believe, something like that. Where did that concept kind of come from? Because I was feeling like a lot of like Baba Yaga kind of stuff there.
I was going to piggyback off that and just see ask how deep the research went into that kind of thing too.
Pretty significantly. I think early on we knew we didn't want it to be about like any sort of Hindu or like traditional like yoga influence. We wanted something a little more like Siberian, off the beaten path in some dark corner of the world feeling to it. But we did a lot of research on like that like type of witchcraft and like witch doctors and like healing and like symbolism and folklore and like all kinds of, we found all kind of like the mask she wears was based on a photograph that we found of a witch doctor, a Siberian witch doctor or something. The bread, our production designer, like redid her own research and found out that like they leave these offering breads to like dead ancestors and they put candles in them, and like did this, like she did her own kind of like level of research that even went beyond what we did to just kind of fill in all of the different random traditions. And I think the other thing too is that we only wanted to take that so far on purpose, because there's a certain point where she finds out that grandma's just like made a lot of stuff up to just lead her down this path. So there's enough breadcrumbs for it to feel authentic. And then it's sort of like, actually, this isn't based on anything known, and it's some other kind of evil witchcraft that she's brought her into.
Which is like, again, like we like to think of Varasha as like the original influencer. It's like she cooked up this book. She cooked up this book of witchcraft from all these different things that maybe she didn't even understand. Like, you know, there's elements of Slavic rituals, and there's elements of Slavic witchcraft, like Matt said, that are these sort of, you know, entry point kind of breadcrumbs that sort of lead her further into the book. But when it comes down to it, and she's like, hey, can you translate this? It's like, I don't even know what this is, dude. Like, this is pulled from corners of the earth not even I can understand, you know? I think sometimes that's how you get, like, I don't know if you guys ever see like the V shred guy. Yeah. And it's like, where did this man come from? Like, it's like he seems like he was created in like a lab in like, you know, the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, they're just like, these people just like take from things and amalgamate them into something and then sell it as this one specific thing, which it isn't, you know?
We all use the word colonizer. Could
be the same as brand ambassador at this point.
Yeah, Christopher Columbus, famed brand ambassador for the Italians.
Look at this whole thing I made.
Be right
Yeah,
back.
look at the yeah, he's like, hey, he came back and he was like, guys, you'll never believe what country I made. It's sick.
Dude, Alex, that's a great comparison though, like, because he's Italian, but he's working for the Spanish, so it wasn't even fucking his own culture.
I brought you this, which is why it's named by an Italian.
Dude, yeah, he's the OG. Like, shout
Well, we don't shout out Christopher Columbus on this panel, but that's
Wow.
where I
Yeah,
draw the
John
line.
said we could say whatever the fuck we want on this podcast, but we can't shout out Christopher Columbus.
I mean, I'm leaving it in.
Classic.
That's
My
my
name's Alex Heans, and I stand on that take.
Canceled. You're canceled.
I'm done. I'm fucking done for.
It's okay. No one has the power to cancel us because we managed to not even be able to do it ourselves yet. So,
God.
one of the things I'm really curious about, and we talked about this a little bit before we started the interview, this was produced by Welcome Villain, right? So Welcome Villain, in my book, has a great repertoire of backing really awesome movies, which is why I was no not surprised when I saw this one and really enjoyed it. What was that process like when y'all were presenting this to them? Like, what for the people that are trying to, you know, make their way to do what you guys are doing, how does something like that come about?
That was a real dream get for us. I mean, they were one of like the two or three distribution companies that we were like really had like our sights set on. And they actually came to us after we screened the film at the Chattanooga Film Festival, which if you're a aspiring horror filmmaker and you have something, that festival is kind of really where it's at right now. We got more eyes on our movie there than we did anywhere else, and even at some of the more like preeminent festivals, I would say. And when they reached out to us, we had kind of looked through their roster of films, and we were like, oh, I don't really know where we fit in here. And I think that is kind of what appealed to us most. I mean, outside of like kind of their mission statement about who they want to be as part of like the indie horror community, is that also like they seem pretty clearly intent on building a roster of films that is not all just the same fucking thing, you know? And I think it's gotten to a point now with like A24 trailers where it's like, oh, this looks and feels like an A24 movie, you know? Like, it's like become sort of like a joke. And I think what's cool about Welcome Villain is that, you know, their tagline is a safe space for dangerous films. Like, it just is like a they just want the weirdest and wildest shit, and that really appealed to us.
Hell yeah. So when you're talking about going through this festival circuit, what do you think was setting you guys so far apart, just based on, I'm assuming that you were also watching some of the movies on the screening floors and stuff like that. What do you think kind of put you guys out there?
I mean, I think there's a lot of good stuff out there, and I think one of the things when our film is sort of shown along with a lot of other horror movies is it's funny, and it's also very kind of arresting, and it's like as for as many rules as we break, we kind of set out with a very like rigid visual idea in mind, and I think when you see it and you're brought in by the performance from Sarah, who's amazing in the movie, like it kind of just grabs your attention in a way that a normal movie or even a normal found footage movie doesn't, because it's so still, I guess, at first. So it's not, it's like less to do with, necessarily the quality or anything like that, but more just like, oh, I'm just like stuck here watching this one person. What's going to happen? And then she ends up being like very cringy and funny and endearing and also hateable. So a lot of the credit is to her for making the movie, I think, as unique and interesting and spellbinding as it is.
It's also short.
Well, you're supposed to hit the
And
90-minute mark. You are supposed to hit the 90-minute mark. Like it's not what like people making 2.5 hour movies right now. It's like I can't like I will watch a Stephen King movie because I love Stephen King, not because Needful Things is a good movie.
yes, it's like, and it's, I mean, I it's partly a joke, but also like, I mean, something that I would say I truly believe in, and I think Matt does to an extent too, where it's just like movies are just getting too fucking long. People are not going to movies, and I don't think that that doesn't have anything to do with the length of them. Like, I think it's like, it's hard to justify going to a movie, sitting there for to 25 minutes of previews, than a 2.5 hour movie. Like you want to watch something quick. You don't want to watch a Quibi necessarily. We saw how that panned out, but like, I think you do want to just, you're competing with attention spans of people who have gotten used to like golden era TV, like hour long episodes of things. And I think, there's a way you can edit yourself and tell your story in an hour and a half or shorter. I mean, Netflix has a whole section now that's like 90 minutes or less. It's like,
I feel like that's gone because those movies don't exist anymore. Like they had it for like a month and they're like, actually, there's nothing to fill this category
because Netflix is also making their own movies
with.
and they're all
Yeah.
2.5 hours.
They're all 3 hours long. I mean, like, especially for horror films, like it's both a practical consideration, like get in quick and leave early, like leave them wanting more. But it's also like, if your movie's 2.5 hours long, like that really strains credibility with a lot of horror concepts and a lot of those types of films. And I think they're not meant to be that long. They shouldn't ever really crack 100 minutes. And so we always like one of our big influences on this was Host, and that's only 50 minutes long.
And that's a
And I
great
think
film.
initially we were like, this could only be like 60 minutes or something. And it is, it's only 80 minutes with credits. So it's, I think that's always a plus with a horror film.
Absolutely. There was actually a film, and most of the films that we've seen in the past year have all been very like the bet our favorites are usually in between 70, which the fact that people are making 70-minute movies now is awesome and crazy. But 70 to an hour and a half, and that's just kind of the golden spot for that. No one wants to watch a slasher for 3 hours. That's insane. Like,
Right.
where does the plot even go at that point?
Don't do it. Just don't do that. I feel like In a Violent Nature should have ended when she gets in the car. If they had lost that whole scene where with the woman, old woman talking about the bear or whatever the fuck, it's like that's a nearly perfect movie. Instead, you end it with this like sort of lofty like there are bears and predators and blah blah blah. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Just fucking end it right there. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Just end it.
Yeah, that's the weird part is like it felt like that was their flex at the end for some reason, because that was Laurie Marie Taylor from Friday the 13th Part
Friday
Three,
two.
two, correct. And I was just kind of like, this is really awesome that she's in this movie. I don't understand why we're still here.
If you're gonna do that, do it at the beginning, right? Like have it be like, this is
A
the
full
theme.
circle character. Yeah.
Right. This is the theme of the movie, is that sometimes these things are just nature. They're animalistic. They're driven by impulse, right? And then let the movie show that theme instead of the ending kind of telling you what you just saw with words.
I could see y'all's writer brains going for watching In a Violent Nature.
Yeah, it's I'm not even ragging on the I thought everything up to that point in that movie was like maybe one of the best movies of the year. I was laughing my fucking ass off. Like I had such a good time. And then at the end it was like, and here's the lesson. It's like, I don't need to know. Why don't you just end it and make this like a 70-minute movie and like let's call it a day. Like I don't care. Okay, Eric's got a Miller Lite. Or John's got a Miller Lite, rather.
We're
Aaron, do you have a Miller Lite?
I do.
Okay, good.
My garage beer of choice here.
Perfect.
They just accrue
They
after a
kind of just,
while.
yeah, they kind of just happen to show up here. And they get drunk. So that's, yeah, it's perfect. First of all, I wanted to apologize for stepping out. That's never happened to me in an interview. I apologize for that. Secondly, I am curious, guys, what is with a movie like this that has its finger on the pulse of culture and how it's happening around us in a very tangible way, where we have these fucking computers in our pockets and we're connected with everybody. What does, as you put it, like influencer horror do from here? Like, what does the next phase of this look like in your opinion? Is there anything you're seeing that you could bounce off of, or what do you think is going on
Because this
there?
movie felt like it kind of capped it. Because
Yeah.
if you look at stuff like Missy and Influencer and stuff like that, it felt like this was like the other end of the
Yeah.
spectrum of what I guess you could do in the cinematography realm.
Right.
That's a really good question. I think for us, a lot of it was coming from a like millennial kind of place and our like role in basically growing up and seeing this shit form in front of us and kind of simultaneously being like, I guess we got to get on board. And then also being like, this is bad though, right? So I'm kind of like, I'm very curious to see what the next generation like starts to do with it, because I think that's going to dictate like where we go. I think the technology as a whole has like worn out its welcome, right? It's like not cool anymore as a as an entity. So it's like, does it get more hyper? Does it get more interactive? Does it get more
Or
like
whatever.
invasive in how it's used? Does it get more creative in what devices are being used? You know, like there's only so many things where you can be like, well, now the thermostat has a camera in it, so we're watching a horror movie about someone turning the heat up. Like you can't keep pushing that part of it, right? But like
Dude, don't.
you
Jason
can
Blum,
push
if you're
where you're getting the
listening,
information.
you can't have this, Jason Blum. You can't have this, okay? Thermostat 2026, welcome villain.
I've got dibs on
They
the fridge.
yeah they have ex oh okay
Haven't you had enough today, Jay?
Glutton the movie.
And that's what
Shit,
you
we got to get on this.
yeah you do like a Seven Deadly Sins appliance.
I just want to show up
I
and say
think
you
that
guys can even have that one.
I think there is like a lot of stuff, there's a lot of content though, and like the way we consume that content is like across myriad devices and myriad formats. And so I'm curious like how you incorporate like elements of the podcast, elements of someone's social media, elements of like security footage. Like, is it just going to become more movies that are using a lot of different sources rather than like one thing? The other thing I see a lot of is like kids using kids, I say kids, like using old stuff. Like VHS, like kind of tinged shit is very popular on YouTube now, of like found footage where it's like they found this old tape from the 90s,
So I had
but
to
the
find
nineties are
a
old.
TV at the pawn shop.
Right. But there is that element of like that I think we don't have in our movie on purpose, because it's supposed to look like a nice, well-lit kind of yoga video. But one of the like cornerstones of a lot of found footage is the footage looks like shit. It looks like it was found in like a dirt pile in the woods. And that is something I'm curious how that is gonna mutate and evolve when everything's so clean now and looks so nice. So yeah, I don't know.
Matt, I just to build on what Matt said, like I think especially because my sisters-in-law are both like end of high school going into college, so I see the way in which they interact with social media, and it's so we very intentionally approach this from a millennial perspective as people who, you know, the way we think of influencers is very much millennially in the way, in the fact, in like the sense that like it's like we're trying to do this thing that we might not completely understand. And I think these kids of like these younger Gen Z kids and Gen Alpha kids, like it is as being an influencer and like having an online presence are not necessarily different from one another. Like they aspire to be influencers, whereas we felt like that was like an option or a way to be successful or a way to augment or and like amplify something we were doing. Like it's like, hey, I want to make my own crocheting studio, so like I'll have an Instagram for it. Like that feels very millennial, whereas like I feel like Gen Zers are like, I want to be an influencer, whatever that means. And I don't think we understand what that means. Like, and I'm just excited to see how Gen Zers and Gen Alpha is able to sort of like convey the horrors of growing up that way eventually. Like, 'cause I would like to know the psychology behind like what it feels like to be them. 'Cause I watch them, I watch my sisters-in-law, just like they literally flip through their screens like this, like I, and it's not, and it like I'm like, you can't be comprehending anything that you're seeing. Like and like I don't know, I just want to know what that feels like.
It always echoes to me what it felt like me as a kid, and I'm 34, so I say that with context included, flipping through channels and like the quote, as the kids would put it these days, the old heads in the room are like, do you even know what you're, clicking past? You have, and it's funny seeing that replicated here 20 years later. But I think what's so funny about this, and I think you really caught it with this movie, is the idea of like, we don't really have a culture as a generation. Like our generation is so interconnected with each other that we don't have our concept of a culture or like a generational identity is based entirely on our perception of ourselves online, right? Or almost entirely. I think that's relatively fair to say with what we're talking about here. And you see it in Anya being super fucking green at this influencer thing to the point that I know a friend, I have a friend that's also an influencer, and this friend comes over and her whole thing is brand building. It has nothing to do with the content you're creating. It's just brand building and forming these kind of parasocial relationships with people that you're influencing, your followers and things like that. And I think it was, again, super well done, and anybody that kind of missed that point, I feel like just missed the point of the whole thing because it was very spot on, in my opinion. So,
All the fucking found footage heads.
it does.
It probably went over their heads. You know, it's not blurred.
It should feel, I mean, like, you know, I think you could watch that and mistake Anya's arc is like us wanting people to feel bad for millennials, which is like has always been the thing we've carried on our backs to millennials. It's like you're always feeling so fucking sorry for yourselves. Like,
Already feels bad for us.
it's like, yeah, like
They've met us.
we told you for years that you guys had fucked the world up for us. And now that it's happening, you're all like acting surprised. So,
I'm just glad the articles have finally moved off of us and they're like, Gen Z is killing this now. They don't like this or that. And I'm like, good, good.
I would
I'm
get
tired
to
of being
our
blamed
chair
for
and smoke
fucking
our pipes
avocado toast.
I'm not a fan of avocado toast. I will say that. I've
We
never.
think it is cringy. We've gotten to the point where we are cringy,
Are.
but you know, that's about
Maybe
all
that
we
is our
have.
identity. Maybe
So
that's what it is, right? When we're answering that question, maybe that we simply are kind of a gap in culture.
A generation lost in space. Was he actually singing about
I think so. Now it all makes sense.
us? So on the film, also just effects wise, I'm kind of curious, because I know a lot of times people have to ingest or drink or vomit abhorrent things as actors. So first of all, what did Anya actually have to fucking drink out of that blender? And follow up to that is, what was the black shit that she had to throw up on the floor after that?
I think the green stuff in the blender was like just like a nice green smooth. Was it good or was it bad? I can't remember.
It looked kind of good, honestly. I would have
I
watched
feel like it
it.
was like a nice kale smoothie. Like, and
Okay.
Sarah's just great, like made it look like it tasted horrible. But she's gluten intolerant, and so the vomit was gluten free. Especially made by the effects team.
There's, if you go on our Instagram at Mind Body Spirit Film, you can see it. It's like a 2 liter, like a labelless 2 liter of Coke filled to the top with like black liquid, and scrawled in Sharpie, it says gluten-free vomit on it. And that was just always sort of like perched on a table or somewhere nearby.
It
And
had bean, was it black? There were black beans in it, I think.
it was like black beans and like oatmeal, and like
Yeah.
it was fucking foul. But we that was actually rigged up to like a whole pump system,
Okay.
for the blender to die apart. Our effects guy Aldrich was like perched out of the frame with like a hose, I think up to his mouth, and then the hose ran like up her shirt and like out the other side. And so,
There you go. He's
which is
just
the
on
most
top of
fun
the back
shit
of
to
the
do.
toilet.
Like that shit
Yeah.
is, that's the shit that I live for, is like, if we could have done this entire thing practically, we would have loved to, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Budgets and time are always the enemy. But that stuff is always so fun when you're like on set and like you nail it, and the celebration after cut is called is always like, that's what I take home with me.
Yeah, it's like we just launched Apollo 11. You know, it's like we just it's like, hey, congratulations. Like, put her there. Victory cigars after just making a girl like heave onto the floor. Yeah.
In the middle of all that fun, who made the creative decision to have that vomit be left on the floor when we see her waking up the next morning?
That was just part of this. I mean, we initially envisioned the entire thing being these long unbroken takes, and we filmed it that way. So like everything we filmed was filmed in a really like sort of like stage theatrical kind of way, where it was like these long oners, that we ended up sort of like vlog style cutting in post, because it just didn't work. It just
Yeah, the
dragged, and
pacing.
you wanted those cuts. But because of that, we were just so anal retentive about continuity, that we were just like, the vomit wouldn't move, the vomit would stay right there.
She wouldn't clean it up. She
Tired.
like
You wouldn't
she
clean it
would have
up.
crawled back into
Yeah,
bed and been like,
right.
I'm gonna go to sleep.
Yeah.
But she that is actually we shot it out of order, so that vomit was on the floor. And then when she throws up, the pattern's like slightly different because that's the
Don't
magic
tell
of
them
movies.
that. Don't fucking tell them that. They're gonna roast us on Letterboxd.
It's okay. The
Movies
founder
are a lie.
guys will never notice.
Yeah.
They're too busy looking at the camera.
Yeah, that's true.
They're too busy getting mad that the camera is moving.
So, while we're on the subject of effects, though, I am curious, how did you guys pull off the? Because I'm not sure. This felt pretty practical. This might be, a little bit more CGI, but you guys can tell me. The when she's doing like one of her last dissertations, Anya as herself, before she gets ripped out through the doorway of her bedroom, how do what was that like? What was like pulling that off?
We had a big brolic dude standing on the other side of the door holding a rope, and he yanked the shit out of her.
That's pretty much it. We
Looks
did
great. It
we
looks
had
awesome.
we had a stunt guy, a couple of stunt people, yeah, rig her up with a harness and cord, and we did there's a lot of footage of tests with where she has a helmet on and stuff, and basically the room was filled with pads. and we composited like Varasha in the doorway. So it's all just basically a lot of, because that was one of the great gifts of this movie in terms of effects, is almost all the shots are locked off. So it's easy to go in and paint stuff out or composite things in. And so a lot of our effects decisions were based on that. It was like, okay, what can we put on the upper right that we can, paint out later. And so when the shot was over, the room was cleared and we just, roll an empty room on the tape and then composite that in. So, but yeah, there was a guy in the hallway and two other stunt
He was
gaffers, I think that.
gigantic. He looked like Patrick Warburton on steroids. Like he was just
Yeah.
like, and he
So, and
just.
we were just screaming, like she's got to play it like this quiet moment of like, oh, what's going on? And meanwhile, we're in the other room going, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. She had to deliver this whole fucking mon like the big sort of like reveal, if you can even call it that, monologue where she's like showing the thing. And then ending with her getting yanked, which shout out to Sarah. Sarah has like become one of our really good friends. I actually just spent some time with her this last weekend in Texas where she lives. And she definitely got yanked by a gigantic man over and over again. In a way that I'm sure
That's a hell of a sign. That's
left her feeling a little sore. So you
and it
know,
keeps
yeah.
going.
Yeah. And it's just like, hey, next scene. Yeah, she was a fucking trooper. She, so much of that shit she did. And thank God she teaches yoga classes and things like that. So she knew how to do, to act, to perform the way that she did in the movie and still be able to maintain a lot of these poses and things that she's doing it's kind of nuts. If you don't do a lot of yoga, it's hard. It's hard to just do it without, while just talking to yourself and sweating balls,
Yeah.
Yeah, so so I was a chef for about 17 years, and one of the owners came in. He's like, "Chef, you got to do hot yoga with me." I was like, "I'm hot every day that I walk into this fucking building, dog. Like I am not sweating in some fucking room with a
For
bunch of
fun.
for fun with a bunch of people I don't know."
Oh, and you pay to do it too.
Y'all have lost your motherfucking mind. Absolutely not.
It's hard. I mean, it's like a, you know, it's really difficult to like hold yourself in that way. And she just was such a natural. So yeah, again, she is the movie, and she's the reason it really works. It's like all on her back, and I think it was like kind of a Herculean effort. And the thing that I've loved the most in response to the film has just been people like recognizing the what she brought to that performance and what she brought to that character, because it's really a lot to put on one person.
Even when people don't like it, they usually are like, but she was good.
Yeah, that is like throughout Letterboxd, which
On
by
your
the way, if you're
lunch
listening to this and you like, if you leave a Letterboxd review, I'll fucking read it. I love that shit. And I love the mean ones just as much as I love the nice ones. But there's this big through line of like, this movie was kind of fucking ass, but the main girl was like real good. And I'm like, cool.
Eric, I think
Respect.
it might be time for another Hating the Haters
Yeah, let's
episode.
do it. We pride ourselves in finding reviews of movies that we love that are what's the word I'm looking for, John?
Disrespected in our community for no
Yeah,
reason.
that's good. And we highlight them in a special episode and give our own commentary and response. So if y'all would like to be a part of that, I think that'd be fine.
Oh,
Oh,
I'll
definitely.
submit some.
Definitely. Just
There's
send me
some
an email.
really good ones out there.
Yeah.
We did one for Malum, because again, big fans of Welcome Villain Films over here, and obviously things that they find and pick up. And one of the guys was like, "This is obviously just a ripoff of Last Shift. He needs to find his own original material." And I was like, "I can't even
Right,
believe
sir.
anyone's this fucking stupid." Like,
That's the joke. That's
that's the joke. The person really thought that they were
Sir,
having
a casual Google search would have saved you so much embarrassment.
He had to go on IMDb in the first place to leave the fucking review.
Jesus
Maybe
Christ.
we do deserve the hatred we get as a species. I don't know.
Are we the
Everyone's allowed to have a phone, you know?
Yeah, we're doomed. We're doomed.
That's why it's doom scrolling, boys.
That's it. Oh shit.
Yeah, well, we legitimately love, I love, and I love also really, I really love a review that, you know, there's ones that really, like, I think people are really pick up the wavelength of like what we were trying to do, and there's people who hated the movie that also picked up the wavelength of what they're trying to do and like didn't like it, and they make these points that are like actually like pretty good points. Those are some of my favorite too, because I'm like, look at you, like you were watching this like a little too closely. Like I didn't, we do not want to be perceived as much as you perceived us. And like it's an honor. I mean, it's like it's an honor to be to have your film sort of scrutinized that closely, for someone to take the time to really parse out what you're trying to do as an artist. Like even if they hated it, like it's still, I don't know, just it's such a beautiful way to be seen and to interact with people. Like it's just very cool.
So, do y'all have some favorite Easter eggs in the film? Like, did you catch that kind of things? Stuff that we might not even be able to see. I don't know what was on that bookcase. I couldn't read anything that was on it.
Oh yeah, I mean it is, people have really come to enjoy, like, you know, people have been very vocal about like spending a lot of the movie looking for things in the background. There's a moment where you sort of, when she first opens the book in the attic,
Yeah,
where
a
you
lot of
can
people never
see
comment on this.
Varasha, this like sort of like faded apparition of Varasha, sort of like slightly come to life in the dark behind her. And it
Oh,
really
yeah.
honestly like depends on like what TV you're watching it on. Like I'm sure, like I think on some TVs you're probably like, there's a fucking ghost. In some TVs it's like it's just the like the faintest imprint of something.
Because people bring up the floor reflection one, which I think wasn't in the script, or was it in the script?
No,
Because we
no.
always, I feel like we either decided like, oh, the floor's shiny enough, we should do something here. But the, yeah, her in the background of the attic is always like kind of a something that, like, again, like Alex said, it's like the perils of making movies in a digital age is that everyone's watching it on a different device, and you kind of have to be like, are people going to see this? And at a certain point, you're like, I don't care if they don't. So let's
Yeah.
just do it.
Yeah, like everybody probably saw her when she was under the staircase, right? Like that's a pretty like
Yeah. Because she
straightforward.
was really there for that one. The
Everybody
her in the
around.
background of the attic was another compositing effect.
Okay.
Yeah, we tried to keep the, like, you know, put the kettlebell and different things. Like we had it be a big part of the first Kenzie commercial, and like, you know, just little Chekhov's kettlebell type stuff, you know, to
There's
sort of.
a point the production design sort of evolves over the movie, and in some obvious ways and some less obvious ways. But one of my favorite things was there's a broom, like a witch's broom, over one of the doorways in the kitchen that isn't there until like the end, like camera circling scene, which I always got a kick out of when I would watch it. I'd be like, that's nice.
That's funny, yeah. Nice touch.
Yeah, I love
Yeah.
that. What do you?
John, you were, sorry to cut you off. You were actually vocal about Varasha in the background the first time I watched this, because we watched this together, and he was like, John, you said something to the effect of, I feel like there's so much room for shit like this in found footage, and people who make found footage movies don't take advantage of that enough.
Yeah.
So I do want to say, like, just another, just not to pump y'all's tires too much, but
No,
dude,
we love
pump
it.
away.
Super fucking.
Yeah. It
Well,
was one of those things too that I think came about, like, we initially conceived it being in an apartment and being in a smaller space, and then we had used this house for a short film, and Alex was like, what if we shot there? And I was like, it might be too big. And then once we committed to it, it was like, oh, but now we can do more of this, and more of like doors opening, and more of like lighting it in a way where it's like, make sure that door or that window is always there, but nothing happens, but it's always there. So you're like, is something going to happen? So that was kind of another like sort of happy accident of the location and the production design of like, oh, we have an opportunity. Let's exploit that opportunity rather than, missing it, which, like you said, I think a lot of found footage doesn't quite do that or take that type of stuff all the way.
Yeah, and I think oh no, reveal is like one of the most joyous things you can experience as a horror fan. And I know I mean our movie, for a lot of very valid reasons, gets a lot of comparison to Hereditary for sort of the ideas of like reincarnation and things like that. But like what I think that I'm more honored to be compared to that movie for is there's so many great little background things, especially in the last like 30 minutes of that movie, of like Toni Collette on the ceiling, where you're just sort of like, you don't, it doesn't quite register until about like a few seconds in that there's something on the ceiling or something in the room or someone standing in a closet that isn't supposed to be there.
Almost
And
the cultists like lurking in the
yeah,
background
like
in ways you don't realize.
the nude old people just sort of like lingering in doorways and stuff. Like, I mean, like that kind of shit, like that affects me more deeply than even her like sawing her fucking head off. It's like it just is. That's a very relatable thing of happening upon something and the sort of the planes of what you're seeing sort of pull apart so that you recognize something's there that you didn't see before, like a sort of magic eye kind of thing.
Three-dimensional chaos.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know that it's just found footage. I think found footage is definitely like the biggest what's the word? Proponent of not doing something like that. But that's kind of my thing, is like I feel like film in general, and I understand that people love Robert Eggers, but one of my things is I'm not someone who watches the center of the screen when I watch a film, because I'm trying to see the story that you've put in the background a lot of the times, because there's a lot more story to be told there. And I feel like there's a lot of nuance, like we're talking about, in a lot of different films. And I think that brings a lot of power to it. Now, with that being said, there's also a lot of instances where those wide pans and such are kind of bringing that anticipation, like you were talking about, Matt, with the window. The difference is, I think, in y'all's film that I really enjoyed was there was always a level of validation of something weird happening, whether it was the initial shot or whether it was the camera moving because now it's being controlled and she's not paying attention to it at the time, or something weird happening. Like, especially those, like, when you're doing the panoramic shots and there's that shot of the hallway with the door to the outside. I don't know why, but that is just such a fucking haunting shot every time. And when it turns red at the one towards the end of the film, I don't know why, but I still think about just that shot for some reason, And I think, again, like there's a lot of validation you guys gave to movie watchers by not just having that wide pan that sits there for 20 minutes and then nothing happens,
Because that red window just reminds me of Suspiria. Like
Yeah.
there's some shit going down,
Yeah. And that's just another element. Like that was just like an element of the house that we happened upon. And I think that's truly one of the coolest things about filmmaking, is like you can set out with this script and everything, but then there things just pop up on the day. Like you find that the floor is so polished and buff that you can see reflections in it. And like there's the thing that covers this door that you need to just that you need to cover for the sake of lighting the space is red and casts this like red glow through everything. And like all those like mannequins and shit that are up in the attic, like those were just there. They were just in those boxes there. And like we were like, does it make sense for her to have these? Like, why would the grandma have this? And then we were like, we don't need to link, we don't need to like it, not everything needs to be fucking explained, but they are creepy. And you can you it's more fun as an audience member to just sort of create your own idea of what they were and what they meant to Varasha. And yeah, John, I really like you calling that out specifically because I think when we shot that, we had rigged it up to, Matt can tell this. He's telling me this. This is the technical thing. The camera for the 360
Well, oh, on the gimbal?
on a gimbal, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we placed Verasha at all like 4 points that all the four doorways or sort of entryways you see in that full 360, and we were kind of in post, like thinking about like where we could put her in those places, and like, you know, I think that's what's so fun about those things is like the expectation and wanting her to appear there and then her not appearing there, kind of, you know, recontextualizes how you see all these spaces in a really cool way.
Absolutely. Eric, do you want to cover the mannequins?
I have told this story so many times.
I wasn't going to tell the story. It's, so he just for traumatic reasons
Yeah.
hates mannequins.
Not a fan of mannequins.
So
So
she
I am one of
opens
those
that door.
people. Yeah.
She he just goes, "No, sir. No,
Yeah.
sir."
Absolutely not. And I feel so validated knowing that you included that in there for me.
They're so scary. They're so scary.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's the classic uncanny valley like humanoid thing where you're like, it's a person, but it's lifeless. And I hate everything about it.
Yep. That's perfect. It was perfect.
Oh,
I was
man.
almost like maybe they should make them look more realistic. Maybe that would make them less creepy and immediately realize that that they are sort of blank for a reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, we are getting to the end of our time, but I think Eric, it is time for your banger
I
question.
have two banger
Oh
questions.
shit. Oh
Fuck yeah, let's go.
The classic one that I ask all of our guests, if you have nobody giving you any input on this and you are doing this thing for yourself, okay, what goes on your pizza?
Whoa.
Gonna clip that later. Whoa.
I'm going honestly, like, and this might make me the most basic bitch in America, but like I feel like they really figured it out with like the sausage, pepperoni, mushroom, onion. I feel like that's like something you can like is like sort of like a pre-made pizza or like a sort of like that's just like a very classic one, but it just hits so hard every fucking time. I live for it.
Okay.
I mostly agree. I would swap the mushrooms for green peppers,
Okay.
and maybe sprinkle some bacon,
Okay.
depending on how greasy I'm feeling.
I like the sprinkle of bacon.
Yeah.
Not too
You don't want to
much.
overdo it,
Yeah,
otherwise it overpowers everything
too
else.
far.
Bro, we're in our 30s now, you guys know. It's like the blood tests are coming back more and more like, hey man, no more pork. And
My lipids are mad
you're
at
like,
me
I hear
if
you, dog, I hear
I.
you. I will definitely cut down.
Yeah.
And then you get to the next blood test and they're like, you didn't change anything. And you're like,
No.
no, I did not.
That's why I'm putting green peppers on there, little veggie.
Yeah.
Like a salad.
That's something I meant to bring up while we were talking about targeted YouTube ads, because for some reason YouTube thinks I have fucking AIDS. I get that fucking left and right
That
now.
search history, bro.
I've got
It's
so
all a result of
many.
something bad you did on the internet like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
Something you
it's
downloaded
all
on
it's
LimeWire has
all
come
led to
back.
this, John. So just follow your digital footprint and see where you were first diagnosed.
It's the 6 terabytes of fucking LimeWire that I have on my E machine from 2000.
The music aids.
Yeah.
Banger number
Burn that. Burn all of
Yeah.
it.
Banger question number two, Mr. Obsessed with YouTube ads. What is the greatest product you have ever bought per an ad
Oh,
seen on the internet with zero research? You just knew you had to
it's
have
mud
this.
water.
Is it mud water? I was going to ask.
Dude, no, I got this thing that Instagram was like peddling to me. Like it was just like, it would not, it was like, I don't think I even had a choice. Like I had to buy it or it was just going to drive me crazy. It's this thing called a Shakti mat. It's like an acupressure mat. And it has fucking changed my life. They're
No shit.
so sick.
We have one.
Dude,
Do have one.
let's
We
do let's
have
do
the
the
neck
acupressure.
pillow
Let,
too.
let's do the acupressure mat after this. I'm curious.
Bro, do it before you go to bed. Like it like relaxes, it like eases tension in like your muscles and your back. Like it hurts really bad at first, but like once you sort of work your way into it, it's incredible. It's great.
I've got too much back knee. It just comes out covered in fucking blood.
I'll go first.
I
That's
need
fine.
to drink more water. Yeah, you don't want
Yeah,
to get
soak that in
after
alcohol
that.
before you get on.
That'd
Oh my
be a real
God.
shitty way to get AIDS.
Great. Well, thank you for the recommendation. I'll buy one.
I feel like everything I've bought off an Instagram ad, I have thrown away or sold.
No.
So I'm glad that Alex has something he
One.
continues to use.
No, that's fair. That's probably better.
They're trying to come after me with the hot dog specific toaster where you can toast the hot dog and the bun at the same time. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's just an oven, bro.
Yeah. I was going to say the toaster oven got all of us during the
Yeah,
like
the
our
air fryer actually
air
was
fryer.
really what did it.
Yeah.
Microplastics.
Yeah, man.
They're so
Just feel
tasty.
them
They're so
coursing through
good.
my veins.
Yeah.
I'll eat macroplastics at this point. Give me like a kid's like sandcastle building set. I'll just eat that shit. I don't even fucking care anymore.
He doesn't even take it out of the fucking Glad Tupperware. He just eats the soup
Eat
in
the
it.
Tupperware.
It's like a
Oh,
bread
yeah.
bowl now.
It's a bread bowl.
Dude, feed it to me.
Well, before we wind up wrapping this up, I am curious, what are you guys working on now? I know, Matt, you're a new dad, correct?
I am, yes. So working on
Congratulations.
raising my 9-month-old daughter. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not working on being a father to anyone. So I've got time. No, but we're working on a script. It's like a kind of supernatural, like campfire story, sort of like a Twilight Zone-y sort of thing that we had been writing for a little while, and both of us were like, I don't even know if this is fucking good. And then we read it again recently and we're like, this is
We should
good.
make this.
So we're kind of shaping that up, and we shot like a little kind of proof of concept for it, and we're going to start to sort of like bring that around with the script, and hopefully with our mind, body, spirit bona fides, get someone to throw us a little money.
Yeah. The real secret to all filmmaking,
Yeah,
the
truly.
little money.
Just a little fucking money. A dentist or two who
Yeah.
always dreamed of
We're still
always
waiting.
dreamed of putting their name in lights.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just having like in the fucking credits just teeth
Just an incisor.
by? Yeah.
They owe me something at this point, like truly the scarring that these people have done to me. I think I'm owed at least one full paid budget by a dentist.
Yeah.
Their suicide rates are pretty high though,
For
so
all the trauma, are they?
yeah.
Apparently so.
Weirdly, it's dentists, vet techs, and I think policemen are like the top three, but I think dentists are like number one right now.
Yeah, dude, my family dentist that I went to for like 20 years of my life fucking killed his wife.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, I
That's a
mean, if you're
movie
looking
idea.
at if you're looking into someone's mouth all day.
He's been inside me. Many times. Yeah.
The like glove finger just like
Oof,
feeling around inside your mouth. Yeah. Yep.
that's
And
insane.
Eric, I think you're the one who made him do
It
that.
probably was my
It was
fault.
just
What?
seeing it was seeing your mouth. He was like, Jesus
See what that
Christ.
mouth looked like?
He left your appointment and was like,
I
there's
got
not this isn't worth it anymore.
it. Yeah, this is it. This is it. Yeah. For sure.
Prayers for his family, by the
Jesus
way,
Christ.
or
we'll send flowers.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure that makes up for it. But on that note,
No,
we
don't send flowers, send candy. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll send saltwater taffy.
Yeah, send the
Yeah,
stickiest candy you can find.
send a bag of trolley bright crawlers. That's
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh man. Well, what do you guys have to say to your fans out there? Because you definitely have them.
To all
Thank
six of
you.
you, We love all six of
Namaste.
you really much.
Namaste, bitches.
Namaste, bitches. No, listen, we really genuinely appreciate all the feedback we've gotten from the movie. We've really appreciated all the love we've gotten on Shudder. And any feedback truly has been such a joy to sort of like take in, even the negative stuff. It's like I'm honored anytime anyone takes the time to watch our film. It's something we've dreamed of doing for a really long time. It's our first feature, so we're eternally grateful to all the lovers and the haters out there.
What he said.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been so much fun. Give it up for Matt Moreno and fucking Alex Haynes. Mind, body, spirit. Check it out now on Shudder. It's a great find and
Very, very fun movie.
very fun, very funny, very intelligent. If you love true found footage and you're a hardcore gatekeeper about it, just don't watch it. You're an
Skip
asshole anyways.
it.
And with that, thank you guys for joining us once again where it creaks, it cracks, and we laugh at the creatures that go bump in the night. Good night, everybody.